adults miss to junior church, 3-year-olds through third grade, right there in the back with Miss Jen. So, good introduction there. Thank you, Rick. You really set the table for the sermon today about joy. And I don't know if you saw the video from Thomas Charities last week, but I remember that young man who was dancing around because they had water. They had fresh water right there in their camp, and that he was doing a dance and people are clapping. That is joy. And I hope during this season that you have moments like that where you can just rejoice. But that's not really where I'm going with my sermon today. You know, God is a God of joy. And Psalm 16, you have made known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. Joy is a gracious gift that God gives us. And I even wonder, is it possible to have joy without the Lord? If so, does it last? I don't think so. But like I said, we're going to be taking a different path to joy this morning. And this path goes through suffering. And the path of joy and suffering are very closely related as we talk about taking joy in the Lord. Now, it seems counterintuitive. It doesn't seem quite right that suffering and joy are connected. But that is how our great God works in our life. So let me pray, and then we'll look into this. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you. You have sent your son, Jesus, to pay for our sins. And we thank you that he will come again, Lord, and remove all suffering and all trouble and all sorrow. But until that day, Lord, help us as we struggle to take it to you, to remember your goodness, and to rest in your plan and purpose for our life. Help us this morning to find joy in you today. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so we're going to be looking at the prophet Habakkuk and learning from him how he found joy and suffering. But I want to talk about this joy and suffering just a little bit. You know, we're human. We want joy. We want to feel good. That's kind of how we're wired. If only they made a device where we could just push a button and be happy. I'm just waiting for that device. Okay, that didn't work. All right. That's because, Tim, it doesn't make you happy. You're right, it doesn't. Good, people. Good, good, good. But my point is, if the Lord just let us go and have whatever we want, we would become spiritually lazy and spiritually fat. Spiritual lazy, we wouldn't even pursue the Lord. Spiritually fat, we would take whatever we get and spend it on ourselves. We need to experience need to move us closer to God. Well, Tim, where are you getting this from? You making this up? Well, think about it. Think about it. Let's go back to Adam and Eve. They had everything. Comfort, peace, joy. Think about it. They had gardens without weeds. I'm giving up on my garden. It suffered again this year. They had marriage without strife. They had God without separation. But there's one thing they didn't have. Independence. They didn't have life on their terms. So what'd they do? Enter suffering into our world. Left to our own devices, we are prone to wander. We will leave the Lord. So God uses suffering in our life to bring us back to him. So let's go from the garden. We'll go 1,500 years or so forward to the life of Habakkuk. Habakkuk, what a wonderful name. Our third daughter, Amy, she was going to be named Habakkuk if she was a boy. That's right, it's just a joke. No, she was not going to be named Habakkuk. But he lived around 600 BC. The northern kingdom, Israel was split into two, has already been destroyed. And the southern kingdom, Judah, is being threatened and still and soon will be overrun. And Habakkuk, the book begins, he looks out among the people here and he sees they're a mess. They're trying and striving. They're trying to do life on their terms. They're looking for joy independent of God. There's violence, oppression, no justice. The law is paralyzed. The people are lost and broken. And he cries out, God, what are you doing? Why are you letting this happen? Won't you do something about it? And God answers him. It's not the answer he was looking for. He said, hey, guess what I'm going to do? You think this is bad? I'm bringing the most powerful, the most wicked, the most proud, the greatest army you've ever seen. And they're coming here, the Babylonians, and they're going to destroy your land. And Habakkuk's like, what? God, are you sure you're going to use more wicked people than your people to teach us a lesson? They will destroy us, and then they'll worship themselves, they'll worship their strength, they'll worship their horses, their weapons. God, this cannot be. I can't see how you would allow this. I don't get it, but I'm going to climb my tower and wait for you. And then God answers again. He says, don't worry, I will destroy the destroyers. All will be made right. As a matter of fact, every wrong that they do will be held into account. They cannot escape, and it will happen suddenly. And Habakkuk glances, he gets this, he breaks into song because he understands God's plan and God's power to execute this. And his vision overwhelms him, even though things are bad and things are going to get worse. And he trembles as he thinks about it and he fears, but he can still get to joy because he knows that God's plan is being executed. So fast forward to 2020 real quick, and then we'll get back into the scripture. Rick already talked about it. 2020, the year of everything's been canceled. It's crazy. It's discontent. It's the year of the pandemic. I don't really need to spend a lot of time here. You all know this. Anxiety, depression, isolation. Now something's coming in. They're calling fatigue. Pandemic fatigue is setting in. And now we're heading into winter, and we would think things would be getting better, and they're getting worse. And some of us are carrying the weight of the world around on our shoulders, trying to hold it together. And we wonder, God, what is going on? And we see people around searching to make life work on their terms and find comfort and peace in this mess. So where do they go? Christmas. I see lots of articles. People are decorating early this year because of the pandemic. People are listening to Christmas music early this year because of the pandemic. Hey, we're doing it. I'm not blaming you for doing it, but think about this for a second. Is this really going to remove anxiety, fear, depression, suffering? Of course not. Of course not. But we like to play make-believe. And we like to think that the magic of Christmas is going to make everything okay. And again, I'm not harshing on the magic of Christmas. I love the magic of Christmas. But it cannot deal with suffering, and it's not going to lead us to the joy that God has for us. I like the holiday magic too. You burned your cake, and then you put some beautiful icing on it, and it looks all nice and good. But then when you slice it out, nope. And it's interesting, even at our small group Bible study for high school, we talked about Christmas, and one kid just raised his hands like, yeah, I just get depressed the day after Christmas. And he's a young man. I'm like, man, it's hard. And I think part of it is because we build this up, that this year Christmas is going to be different. I even get scared because there was like emails, don't let Christmas sneak up on you. Get this devotional now. And I was like, oh my goodness, Christmas is sneaking. I'm going to miss Christmas. You know, we put all these expectations that Christmas is going to deliver us from suffering. And if I read the right devotional and do the right things. No. See, here's the problem. Suffering is real and it needs a real answer. Okay? And God has the real answer, and he wants us to seek it out and find it and experience joy no matter what our circumstances are. That's why the Apostle James writes, count it all joy when you suffer. Not that it's joyful to suffer. Suffering is terrible. Nobody wants to suffer, but everybody will suffer. But there's purpose in it. And through suffering, God can produce things that he can't when life is easy. Okay? So let's go back to Habakkuk and talk about suffering. Read this through this again. The fig tree, not blossoming. There we go. No fruit on the vines. The produce of the olive is failing. There's no food in the fields. The flock is cut off from the fold. There's no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God, the Lord, is my strength. He makes my feet feel like the deer's. He makes me tread on high places. What is he doing? Is this Christian stoicism where he's just like, I'm just going to believe God no matter what? Is he sticking his head in the sand, ignoring suffering? No, he's not. He's not at all. Let's see what Habakkuk does. I got the three R's up here to help us to remember. Wrestling, remembering, and wrestling. Now, I know you're like, Tim, wrestling does not start with an R. I know that, but you're going to remember this when you go home, and that's the key. Okay, so Habakkuk, what does he do? He wrestles, he remembers, and he rests, and he finds joy. So let's look at wrestling here. First of all, do you know the name Habakkuk means to engage or to wrestle? Pretty cool. So verse 17, we see the level of suffering that he's experiencing. You know, no fruit of the vine, there's no joy, there's no cheer, there's no sweetness of life. There's no food, the fields are barren. The flock that are out in the fields in their pens, you think they're secure? Nope, they're gone. Well, at least the big animals that live inside the barn close to us, they're there. No. Can you say the word desolation? Because that's what happened. There is nothing to rejoice about for Habakkuk. Okay, so what does he do? Now, I just want to take a little aside here. What doesn't he do? The first thing he doesn't do is he doesn't use platitudes. Okay? Now, platitudes, they sound good and they seem profound, but there's really no power in them at all because there's no wrestle. So platitudes are like, oh, don't worry, everything's going to work out. Oh, it's okay, everything happens for a reason. Hey, just stay positive and hang in there. Okay, we've done that. We've talked about platitudes. But Christian, we have something way better than platitudes. Platitudes usually lead to nowhere and might bring up some untruths about who God is. And platitudes, they keep us off the path of joy. So that's one thing that Habakkuk could have done, but he did not. And then the second thing is a little bit more powerful, is we turn to idols. Right, Habakkuk could have just run to his idols. You think about it. When we face hard times, what do we do? I admit, I don't like to suffer. I like to run away and hide and stick my head in the sand and pretend it's not there. That does not work, my friends. And as a parent, when you see your kids suffer, it's like 5 times, 10 times as worse than your own suffering. And as we walk through my daughter with her struggles with addiction, I couldn't take it. It was so hard, and I didn't want to deal with it, and I didn't know what to do, and I felt out of control, and then I felt like it was my fault. And then I started feeling guilty. And when you combine trouble and guilt, it's paralyzing. You can't do anything about it. So what do you do when you face suffering? In our culture, we are so good. We have all kinds of idols to run to, right? What do we have? We have drinking. We have drugs. There's pornography, sexual sin. There's eating. There's video games. There's TikTok. The list goes on and on and on. Why do we have so many things? Why do we have so many things to run to? I don't know. Is it the enemy lining this up so we'll leave God? Is it man's solution to suffering without God? Maybe. But my question to you is, where do you tend to go when circumstances are hard? And idols are worse than platitudes. Not only do they take us off the path of joy, but idols we think are going to be joyful. They make false promises, and then they ensnare us and hold us prisoner. So we see Habakkuk, no platitudes, no idols. Where did he go? He wrestled. He took it right to the Lord. Now, Tim, this, you're saying this is really simple. It is really simple, but at the same time, it's really hard. Because we got to be open and honest with God. Lord, this is more than I can handle. Lord, what are you doing? Life's out of control, and it seems like you're not answering. You know, what's going to happen? How long? We hear the prophets, Lord, how long are you going to allow this to happen? When are you going to act? So Habakkuk does that. He teaches us a very important lesson. We have to wrestle with the Lord. We have to take it to him. And brothers and sisters, if you've seen some saints that have wrestled for a long time, their spiritual muscles are strong. They're strong as an ox. They will not yield. They stand firm because they've been there. They've done it. They've sought the Lord through it. And man, they are buff. They are strong and they are tough because they've relied on God. They've taken it to God. They've learned how to walk through suffering and build those spiritual muscles with the Lord. You need to share your stories of suffering and how God has met you, people, so you can strengthen one another. And those of us that are newer, that's okay. Start today. Talk to God. Learn to wrestle. Learn to meet suffering head on. Cut out the idols. Cut out the platitudes. And go seek the Lord. That is the path to joy. The second thing Habakkuk does is remember. He remembers God's plan and God's power. Okay? He goes back and remembers what God did in Egypt. Remember, the Hebrews were enslaved. They had no chance of getting out. They were oppressed. They were weak. No chance of salvation. How are they ever going to get out of Egypt? But God came and rescues them, and they walk out of the most powerful nation in the world. And Habakkuk remembers that, and he says, God, you are the powerful one. You can rescue your people. And that's our story too, right? We are connected to Habakkuk. We remember that God has sent his son to rescue us from ourselves, from our sin, from trying to build our life independent of him, for us trying to find joy in other things. But God has rescued us. And now we know we can count on him. And that through Christ, we can triumph over suffering. We are saved now and forever. We remember the gospel that God did not spare his son for us. How will he not give us all good things? He gives us his Holy Spirit. Jesus prays on our behalf. And we know the suffering that comes to us is not final and will soon be put away forever. We can face suffering because we remember it's God's plan and God's power. And the final thing Habakkuk does is he rests. He declares his joy in the Lord. God, you are my strength. There's a time for wrestling, there's a time for remembering, and there's a time for resting. Trust God. He can do what you cannot do. Again, it's his plan, it's his power. Give him the control, let him write the story. He blesses us with peace. He makes our feet like the deer, able to tread the high places safe and secure. Again, what got us into trouble? Trying to make life work on our terms. That does not work out. But our God is so good that he brings that suffering, he puts it in our heart, he places it just where we need it, so that we turn to him and find joy. Rest in the Lord, wait in the Lord, and take joy in the Lord. So just wrapping up this Advent season, let us pursue joy in the Lord. I encourage you to wrestle, remember, and rest. I encourage you to write out a prayer, just like Habakkuk did. Write out a prayer. What's on your heart? What are you feeling today? What are you facing? What are you worried about? Where has God brought suffering into your life? Talk about it with him. And then remember who he is. Remember his power to save, his power to heal, his power to make our feet like deer's, and then rest in him. And the final R would be repeat. Continually do this and build those spiritual muscles up. So whatever comes your way, you're able to respond. Yes, Lord, your power, your plan. I wrote my prayer. Lord, through this, though this year has not gone as planned, and circumstances have been overwhelming at times, and I see my sin and failures, and those whom I love have suffered much. Yet I will rejoice in Jesus my Lord and take joy in his plan and salvation. Your love and faithfulness have made me strong, and I know the King is coming, and his kingdom is full of justice and righteousness, and it will never end. Father, thank you for meeting us where we are. Thank you for allowing us to bring all of our stuff to you, all of our troubles, all of our suffering. Lord, remind us of your power. Help us to trust you. And Lord, give us joy this season of Advent as we think about your Son who came for us. Work in us what we cannot do. Thank you. In your name I pray. Amen.
Please stand and sing with us.